last message I gave was the first part of a great subject dealing with the salvation of Adam and Eve and the gospel spread as a result of Christ's death on this poor sin-cursed world. You don't need to die, you can live. You don't need to go to hell. You can start for heaven. And oh, my friend, I would say, start for heaven now. Be in time. Now we come to the second sermon on this great subject. You see, the eternal city of God had been outlawed. And the way of man made by the touch of God's hand had become defiled. And instead of peace, there was war. Instead of holiness, there was shame and bitterness. And instead of the way to heaven being clear, the way to heaven was blocked by the sin of Adam and the sin of Eve. But thank God, one day there appeared on this earth God's Son. And he appeared to seek and to save that which was lost. He came to undo all that the devil had done. And more so, because the salvation that he brought gives us a better position than Adam and Eve had before they themselves personally rebelled. Oh, the love that drew salvation's plan. Oh, the grace that brought it down to man. Oh, the mighty gulf that God did span at Calvary. Mercy there was great, and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. The holy city will never be touched with the corruption of sin. The immutable purity of holiness will be supreme. And all the wreckage and all the rebellion and all the filth and bitterness of hell will be swept away, and we will have a clean world. We will have a pure world. We will have a sinless world. This is what Christ has accomplished. I just want to bring to your attention some statements of great preachers in the past who tell us exactly the reversal that took place through the intervention of the Lord Jesus Christ. God had revealed his holiness to the small kingdom of Israel. He wished them to consider the beauty of his nature. If we take a portrait of a man, we try to represent his face. not his hand, nor his back, nor his foot. We try to delineate his beauty, to refresh our minds with that which is most memorable, and distinguish in his exterior semblance. So while the hand and finger of God denote his power and skill, and his throne is used for majesty and dominion, God considers his holiness as the true luster of his character, as that by which he will be best known. We need to have a look now at the beauty of his holiness. And he is holy, and his holiness is glorious. And the beauty of the Lord is found in his holy temple. But God has done something. He has dealt with the curse of sin. The author of sin, introducing it to Adam and Eve, was the devil and all his host. But that day in the Garden of Eden, that was dark for man, and dark for the world, and dark for the future, suddenly there was a light. And that light shed a beautiful rainbow over the valley of tears. And Adam, who had fallen to hell's temptation, and Eve, who had given him the fruit that he should not have had, God came from the brightest of glory. His blood as a ransom he shed to purchase eternal redemption. And oh, he is mighty to see it. He was there to use his influence and restraint. Sometimes, and in some instances, he is pleased to suspend it in coming circumstances that are considerable. But there was one day when he came to deal with sin once and for all. And thank God that day the great wheel of God's forgiveness started. Adam and Eve were not sent to hell immediately. No, they started for heaven immediately. That is what is needed, my dear sinner friend, in your life. You need to start for heaven. You need to be in time. Christ is absolute in his offer and fullness of that offer of salvation. All life is in God. All wisdom is in God. He is the only wise God. You, my sinner friend, are an enemy of God. But God is holy, 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 and he is the Lord of love. The several attributes are not only individually complete that Christ has, but they are perfect in their harmony. They combine as the colors in light and unite as the several gases which constitute the atmosphere, and they blend as the hues of the rainbow. Our Savior sheds a beautiful rainbow over the valley of tears. There was a great bishop in the English church in the year 1633 to 1716. His name was South, and he bore a good name because the South is always noted for heat, and this man was a warm-hearted preacher who had tribulation and anguish in his heart for the souls of men. And so he was a wonderful preacher of the Word of God. And he was not afraid to let go in the pulpit, although he was a bishop, and to call upon the people to seek Christ and his love. The perfect quiet of his character led to people speaking of him and saying of him, "Why is the bishop like that?" Because the bishop had peace in his heart, and he called upon men and women to turn from the flesh and the world and the devil, and to turn to the one who was abundant to pardon. And therefore, as he preached, there was with his preaching the healing of the gospel. And he would not keep silent, but with stirring words, he presented Christ as the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. But up in Scotland, in the same century, there was another man. His name was Guthrie. And he also had the gospel written on his inmost soul. Preaching one day, he said to his congregation, "Suppose a man is lying under sentence of death. Shrinking from the gallows tree, he has sent off a petition for mercy and waits for the answer with anxious suspense. One day his ear catches rapid steps coming to the door of the prison. The chain was dropped, the bolts were drawn back, a messenger entered with his fate. On these lips, death or life, freedom or imprisonment." And the answer, the answer is that the sovereign pities the criminal, but cannot pardon the crime. The blood deserts his cheeks, his hopes dash to the ground. He wrings his hands. He gives himself up for lost. But the messenger draws near, and laying his hand kindly on the poor man's shoulder, tells him that there is one way by which he may yet be saved. If the king's son would change places with him, put these fetters of his on his own limbs, and die in his room, that would satisfy justice, and the prisoner could escape the rope. Drowning men will catch at straws. And he was a drowning man. The king gave up his son. The king's son, the prince royal, the heir of the kingdom, consent to die for a poor, obscure, guilty wretch like me, if there is no hope but that gives hope for all. Now fancy, if you can, his astonishment, sinking in incredulity, if you can, his astonishment and his rising filled with joy. When the messenger said, "I am the king's son. It is my own wish and my father's will that I should die for you. For that purpose am I come, and I have left the palace, sought you in this dreary prison, have taken with me a pardon which I have to give you. Your fetters are going off, and you are leaving. In me shall the crime be punished. In you shall the criminal be saved. Escape. Behold, I set before you life or death." Ah, but there has come one greater than any ordinary king's son, the son of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He has come in the tenderness of his heart, in the wonder of his grace, in the majesty of his power, in the sweetness of his gospel. And he has come to tell you, no matter how hard you have been, how crooked you have been, how lying you have been, how miserable you have been, how rebellious you have been, how filthy you have been, that Jesus Christ, God's Son, died for you, a poor lost sinner like you. He came into the world, what to do, to save good people? No, did not. He came into the world to save sinners, of whom you are in company. I have a Bible. It's filled with the message of the gospel. The Bible shows me a wonderful person. Who is that wonderful person? He is the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, he came from the brightest of glory. His blood is a ransom he shed. He purchased eternal redemption. And oh, he is mighty to save. He can save you now. Only trust him. Only trust him. Only trust him now. He will save you. Hallelujah. He will save you now. And let me just say it to you, there is a heaven to gain, and there is a hell to be shunned. There is a place, and it is a black and hollowed vault, where death is never seen. There shines no sun, but a flaming horror of consuming fires. A lightless sulfur chokes the smoking fogs of infected darkness. In this place, there dwells many thousands and hundreds of thousands of sundry sorts of sinners, of never-dying deaths, of damned souls who roar without pity. There are gluttons that never are fed, toads and adders. There is burning oil poured down the drunkard's throat. There is the usurer, the man that wants the payment made, but you can't pay him now. You're forced to sup the draughts of sin. There is a murderer forever stabbed. You can never die there, lying in your wanton ways, on the racks of burning steel, while in your soul you know you deserve hell forevermore. I called you today to remember that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. He came from the brightest of glory. His blood as a ransom is shed to purchase eternal redemption. And oh, he is mighty to save. Turn your eye upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. I remember as a lad kneeling at my mother's knee and asking the Lord Jesus to come into my heart. He didn't turn me away. He came in. And today I can say, I have peace like a river in my soul. Peace, perfect peace, in this dark world of sin. The Holy Ghost is whispering peace within. Him that cometh unto Christ, he will in no wise cast out. Don't try to make yourself better. Come as you are, sin and all, and he will save you. Hallelujah. He will save you now. Amen and amen.